Well, good morning again, and welcome to New Hope. New Hope. Have you ever given much thought to that name? I sure have. There's an interesting story behind how we decided on New Hope Christian Fellowship too many years back to really remember, but when we first came here, we decided to change the name, and we spent some time praying about it, and we wanted the name to convey what we felt God was speaking to our hearts about the church and his theme, if you would have it, for us and his will for us. And at the time, we'd only heard or seen the name New Hope maybe once. Now there are numerous New Hopes, and there's some other type of New Hopes, if not just churches, like New Hope for medical issues or those type of things. But at any rate, we like what New Hope said. We like the fact that it said New Hope. Of course, we wanted to say we were Christian. We wanted to find that we weren't New Age. We were New Hope. We were Christian, and that was obvious. And in fellowship, fellowship is also an important factor in our faith. What we do, how we fellowship with each other is extremely important. And as we were praying about it and discussing it with a few folks and kind of wrestling with the name, we received a thank you note from some missionaries that we never heard of. They were, I believe, Africa. Never met them, never saw them, had no idea who they were. They addressed it to New Hope Christian Fellowship at our home address, and it was a thank you card. And it was, thank you, Pastor Meller, for what you've done. And I mean, our name was in there, our address in there. And we were talking about New Hope Christian Fellowship, and we got this card that said New Hope Christian Fellowship. So we kind of felt there was a direction from God, but more importantly, it was interesting, but mostly through prayer and God's direction, we came up with the name, chose the name, New Hope Christian Fellowship. And the reality is we all need new hope. We all need fresh hope. At times we find ourselves with a crisis in our lives or at some place where we feel there is no hope and we have a deep need for new hope or renewed hope. And the truth is, you could have things going well. Things could be going wonderful. And hope is still an important thing to have. I mean, can you imagine a life with no hope, being hopeless? Hope keeps us moving forward. Hope looks upward. Hope keeps us pointing towards God. Hope roots us to God and who is the author of hope. Life needs hope. New Hope Christian Fellowship, our little tagline is where life meets hope. And when you meet Christ, you meet hope. And so we believe that. But without hope, life seems pointless, without purpose. You have no place to go. You may have a great deal of money. Things may be going well for you in business and in life, but you could still feel hopeless without purpose. I have met people like that. It seemed like they had everything they wanted, they achieved everything they wanted, but they had no purpose in life. They had no hope, nothing to look forward to. When we have a purpose in life, we have hope as we look to answer that purpose, that for which God has created us and designed us, and in our personal life, what he wants for us. And I'm not talking about a self-described purpose. We've all chase that mistake at one time or another in our life, some self-described purpose that we think is our purpose in life. I'm talking about real purpose, God, godly purpose, God-given purpose. And wouldn't it be wonderful to finish your life at some point, whatever that may be, and finish it knowing that you had fulfilled your God-given purpose for you in your life and at your time? I mean, who wouldn't want to do that? Who wouldn't want to stand before God someday and him say, well done, you have fulfilled my purpose for you. Past couple of weeks, we have spoken a great deal about life and great faith, having a great life and a great faith, and a great life with great faith would go a long way in fulfilling God's purpose for you. And it's possible to accomplish just that, even if you're not perfect, because we don't want to get this mistake of thinking that we have to be perfect to fulfill God's purpose. He's drawing us towards maturity. He's drawing us towards a perfection, if you will. But we can still fulfill his purpose in our lives, individually, and in the church corporately. Consider this verse here in Acts 13, verse 36 says this, for when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. David, of all who was less than perfect, it says when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he passed away. Well, I can't think of a better epitaph that you could put on your tombstone. here lies so-and-so, and in their life, in their generation, they fulfilled God's purpose. And the time that you lived in your life, in your contemporary setting, you did the eternal. You served God's purpose. Wouldn't that be wonderful to know that God would proclaim that about you? Now, for us to accomplish God's purpose, you probably have to know what that is. And for us, there are individual purposes and there are corporate purposes as a church. I know many of you, if not all of you, have heard the name Rick Warren, who of course has written The Purpose-Driven Life. Actually, long before that, several years before that, he wrote The Purpose-Driven Church. A lot of us pastors had read that, and then he came up with The Purpose-Driven Life and became the number one bestseller of all times, except the Bible, of course. And he has some great insight into purpose and purpose life. And a little bit about what I'm talking about today, I will pull from some of his writings, of course, make it my own personal, but you know, long before Warren wrote the book, people have asked, what is my purpose? What is my purpose? The Bible addresses this very question. In fact, a guy named Solomon, who, by the way, happened to be David's son, the Bible says the wisest man that ever lived, he questioned meaning of life and its purpose. Now, that's a pretty deep subject, the meaning of life and its purpose. What are we doing with that? How do you handle it? He wrote Ecclesiastes, and basically he tells us that if we have no purpose, if we do not understand God's purpose for us, there are five tragic consequences that are going to happen in our lives. If you don't understand the purpose of life, life will seem useless, totally useless. Ecclesiastes 1, verses 2 through 4 says, "Vanity of vanity," says the preacher, "vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun? One generation passes away, another generation comes, but the earth abides forever." And the actual meaning there of vanity, while it was translated in the King James, the New King James, it means empty, meaningless. There's nothing to it. The Good News says it this way, the Good News translation, "Life is useless, all useless. You spend your life working, but what do you have to show for it? The world stays just the same." I mean, if there's no purpose to life, you might as well sleep in. What's the point? Why get up every day? Why get out and do something? Why have life? If nothing really matters, why bother? Why make the effort? If there's no purpose to life, it's useless. And the Bible goes on in Ecclesiastes and tells us without purpose, life becomes tiresome. We just seem to be going in circles. I mean, that's not a very good picture, but we can feel that way in our life if we are not following a godly purpose for our individual lives. Ecclesiastes continues, "The sun rises and goes down. The wind blows round and round and back again. Every river flows into the sea, then the water returns to where the river began, and it starts all over again. Everything leads to weariness, a weariness too great for words." When you don't know when there's a purpose in your life, you don't know God's purpose for your life, just seems like you're going in circles. The Bible gives us three examples. There's a rotation of the earth, the sun goes up and down, the swirling of the wind, the cycle of rain and evaporation, it goes on and on and on. Of course, the reality is we may feel like it's just another day and other things are happening, but in God's design and God's purpose, there's a reason the earth goes around and around and the sun goes up and down and the rain comes. And when that stops, we have big trouble, don't we? But the point is we can feel like, what's the point? This just keeps happening day after day like an endless cycle. Just about the time you put the Christmas lights away, you feel like you got to put them back up again. You're just another thing to do, whatever it may be. Another Sunday to go to church, on and on and on the way we feel if we're not careful. And you feel like you're on a treadmill. And life on a treadmill goes a little bit something like this. You're using a lot of energy, you have a lot of activity in your life, but you're going nowhere. I mean, you could spend the entire day in the treadmill and burn up all kinds of energy and activity and go nowhere. And that's what you can feel like is. The fact is, the Bible, you know, the old saying is you can win the rat race, but you're still a rat. We have to have some purpose in our life. If you don't have purpose in your life, life seems useless and life seems tiresome. Business Week once did a study and it asked to find out what the number one answer was when you ask people, how are you doing? And the number one answer was, I'm tired. If they're honest about it, I'm tired. It's like the decade of fatigue. We have more things than anyone before us. We have more appliances to do work for us. We have more technology than any generation has ever had in our lives. And yet we're so unfulfilled and we're tired just trying to keep up with it and place it all into our lives. Without purpose, life seems useless, tiresome, and clearly unfulfilling. Ecclesiastes goes on in verse 8, all things are full of labor. Man cannot express it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. That which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. He's saying no matter how much we see, we're never satisfied. No matter how much we hear, we're not content, whether it be movies or music or whatever. History merely repeats itself. Without godly purpose, life is pointless. When we don't see a point to something, the fact is we get restless. When you don't get see a point to something, you get restless, antsy, you can't stay in your seat. You come late, leave early. We have the remote, the zapper on the TV. The average human being will change channels on the TV 325,000 times in their life. Can you imagine? And that's the average. Some of you are doing that in a year or two, I think. We get restless when we don't see a point to something. We want change. Life is useless, tiresome, unfulfilling. We have this endless cycle. We'll sit there and watch something. We'll think this is totally worthless, and yet we'll sit and watch it. Or we'll change it to try to find something else. You know, you can get a cable TV or a satellite TV, and if you want to, you can get what? 900 channels? We don't have 900 channels, but I've been where they have 900 channels, and I've tried to flip through and couldn't find anything. I mean, come on. Life can be that way. Without godly purpose, we get restless, and people change something instead of trying to find meaning. People may change a job. They may change a mate. They may change churches. They may change neighborhoods. We go on and on trying to find some meaning when something doesn't seem right, when our life is not lined up with God's purpose for us in our lives. Solomon considers these consequences tragic consequences. I mean, that's no way to live a life. It's a waste, far from the significance that God desires for each of us. Verse 11 says in Ecclesiastes 1, there is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of things that are to come by those who will come after. In other words, it really doesn't matter what you accomplish in your life, but someday nobody will care, is what he's trying to say. What we can feel like if we're chasing after the wrong things. No one remembers what has happened in the past, and no one in the days to come will remember what happens between now and then. I remember once I preached a message on the dash of life. You know, when someone dies, you see in a tombstone or you see in a little bulletin thing, you know, they were born on this date in 1951 and they died on this date in 2009. And between those dates, there's this little dash. And it struck me once when I was looking at it, and I thought, everything that happens in your life happens in that dash. I mean, all we see is this little date, you know, born October, died this month, this year. And between the span of years, whatever it may be, everything is represented in that little tiny dash. And so I remember preaching a message on, are you living your dash right? You are in your dash years. So you're making your dash count. Life comes at you fast, as the insurance company commercial says. And the Bible says life is but a vapor. So many chase something that they think is important, trying to find purpose and meaning, only to find out in the end, it really never mattered. Now, I don't know about you, but that seems like a waste to me. Suddenly life seems insignificant. And Solomon is talking here about the surety of obscurity, the surety of obscurity, I'll get it out, if you live your life without purpose. But you can go through your whole life and never fulfill God's purpose for you. Rather than embracing life and living life and making it count. Ecclesiastes 1:15 in the Good News Translation says this, you can't straighten out what is crooked. You can't count things that aren't there. Life seems uncontrollable. You know, I think it's important if we all understand one thing. There are some things in our life that we cannot control. We don't like that, and if you're a control freak, that's not good news for you. And some people are control freaks, but there are things in your life that you just have no control over. There are things in your life, if you're going to go through life trying to control everything, you're going to wind up miserable. I say control was important. I can choose to control my anger. I can choose to control how do I respond in a difficult situation. I can choose to study God's word. I can choose to pray. I have control over that. I can choose to control my thought life. But there are things in my life I cannot control. I cannot control how somebody else responds to a difficult situation. I'm only responsible for how I respond and how I respond to them. I may be able to help them, but I have no control over them. The most important things in life are often things we cannot control. We didn't control when we were born. And other than trying to live healthy, you really can't control when you're going to die. And there's a whole bunch of things in between there that you really have no control over. You can't control other people. You may try. And most of you that have tried it, you know, how's it working out for you? Not very well. You can't force somebody to fall in love with you or to stay in love with you. Those types of things in life. There's a lot of things like that. Life without God and without godly purpose will be uncontrollable. And life can just be like that at times. It'll be a life of frustration when you don't have God's purpose. Godly purpose gives us direction, and most importantly, it keeps God in control. And I have found in my life, when I have God in control of my life, things just seem to go better. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever at least spent a day where God was in control? Wasn't that what a better day for you? I mean, it's just amazing how that happens. I've watched in my life, personally, you know, things have seemed like they're going very good and things are going well and, you know, everybody's kind of content and happy. All of a sudden, two or three people in our family or extended family or maybe in the church will have some real difficult thing happen in their life. And all of a sudden, you sense this pain come in. You're hurting for them. And it's like, oh, I wish I could do something to help them more than feeling useless. And the only thing I found that really helps, I mean, there are things you can do specifically at times, but prayer is amazing. I've watched God turn things in a day or so just by going back to the Lord and saying, Lord, this is painful, this is hurtful, this is hard, this is difficult for them. Help them. And as you intercede, you know, God changes things. What a joy it is to have God in control of what we do in our lives. There's a guy named Hugh Moorhead who for 45 years ago, began a hobby of writing to famous philosophers and scientists and authors and asking them, what is the purpose of life? This fellow is now the chairman of the Department of Philosophy, Northern University in Illinois. And the responses he got back were interesting, if not at the very least depressing. A fellow by the name of Isaac Asimov wrote back, as far as I can see, there is no purpose to life. Carl Jung, the purpose of life is, but it looks like if there was something, there would be something meant by it. Arthur Clarke wrote in 2000, who wrote the book 2001? He said, I'm afraid I have no concrete ideas of the purpose of life. Albert Ellis, the psychiatrist who invented the RET therapy, which is a therapy to help people on their emotions, he said, as far as I can tell, life has no special or intrinsic meaning or purpose. Gerald Frank said, in the cosmic scheme, I see nothing meaning, I see neither meaning nor purpose. Edward Gorney said, I doubt if there is one. William Gass says, there is no meaning to life. Thomas Nagel says, I'm afraid the meaning of life still eludes me. With a sense of resignation, Joseph Heller wrote, I have no answers to the meaning of life, and I no longer want to search for any. I don't know about you folks, but I don't want to go through life feeling like that. That's a tragic statement. A life without purpose is a life not worth living. And it's interesting that it's by no accident that as our generation has taken God out of our culture, returned their backs on God, the suicide rate has rocketed, skyrocketed. Why? We don't have God in our lives. We don't have God in lives. When you move God out of the picture, the options for meaning and purpose become very slim. Why not just check out? Do you know suicide is now the second greatest killer of teenagers in America? I don't know about you, but I find that staggering. Where's their purpose? What's the point to life? Why hang around when there's no meaning or purpose? If you take God out of the equation, your options are extremely limited. Some of you know about Bertrand Russell. He's a famous English philosopher. He was an avowed atheist, but at least he was intellectually honest. He admitted that if you don't believe in God, there are severe consequences to it, even though he was an atheist. He said this, unless you assume of God, the question about life's purpose is meaningless. Freud, who was also an atheist, said the same thing. The idea of a purpose stands or falls with the religious system. In other words, if you don't accept that God exists, you're on a dead-end street. Now, for those of us here this morning, we believe there's a God. In fact, we believe there's a God, and he not only lives and is, but he's deeply involved in our lives and loves us deeply. But it's important to remember that and to remind ourselves about that, that God does exist. And to remember that he has a purpose for you and a purpose for me, and he has a will for you and he has a will for me. And as he has drawn us together as a church and a family and a local body, he has a purpose for us corporately as well. For those that do not believe that there is a God, then people, they just believe that people are a random accident. I mean, you know, if there's no God, how do people get here? Well, it's just the explosion. It's just this, a bunch of cells that just kind of got together. And all these useless explanations that really don't hold up. Without God, then life doesn't really matter. Consider if you stand on the side that says you're an atheist and there is no God and life is just happenstance. If it's just happenstance, what does it matter? There's no purpose. There's no creator. It's just an accident. Then life is meaningless. You die, so what? Somebody shoots you in your house, who cares? Life is meaningless. And I think deep within the heart of man, we know that's a lie. And yet there are many that feel that way. There's an expression of atheistic humanism, and it's intellectually bankrupt. Atheistic humanism says you came from nowhere, that you're a freak of nature. You're going nowhere. But it also says right now while you're alive, you have dignity and value. I don't know about you, but that doesn't make sense to me. You came from nowhere, you're going nowhere, but in this little short period of span of eternity, you have dignity and value. That's absurd. It makes no sense whatsoever. And yet, that's what happens when you don't have God in your life. It's irrational. If there is no God and you're just a freak of evolution, just some sort of slime that happened to progress, there is no afterlife or there is no heaven or hell. And when you die, then life does not have any meaning. You do not matter. I'm glad that God says you matter. I'm glad that Christ came and said, you matter so much that I will die for you. I don't know about you, but if I'm serving a God that is willing to die that I might live with him for an eternity, I want to find out what his significance and his purpose for me in my life is. I think it's important to understand the purpose of life. If you don't know God's purpose and you end up making one up, you create a purpose on your own. That's called existentialism. That's basically says that people try to find some kind of meaning in your existence, a way to prove it. All kinds of people try to do that. Some people included that the purpose of life is just to stay alive. Now, that's a pretty serious purpose, just stay alive. That's a survivalist view. That the purpose of life is just to stay alive as long as you can. Another group of people that say the whole purpose of life is simply to perpetuate life. In other words, the whole purpose of life is just biological. You eat and you reproduce. The whole purpose of life is to have babies and so life goes on. If your only goal in life is to create more life, then life has no purpose except to create more life. If that were true, why not just stop it all right now? If the only purpose you are here for is to reproduce and have more people so they can reproduce and have more people, that's it. What's the point? Why bother? There are other people who say the purpose of life is a search for meaning. The end result of that thing is this. The purpose of life is to spend your life trying to find out the purpose of life. Now, unless you didn't get that, I'm going to repeat it. They're basically saying the purpose of life, when they talk about trying to search for meaning, the purpose of life is to spend your life trying to find the purpose of life. Really? Really? Are you kidding me? That's your whole purpose? What happens if you never figure it out? What's the point? That's what most people do. They don't use fancy philosophical terms. They use terms like I'm into. I'm into politics. I'm into sports. I'm into redecorating my house. I'm into making money. I'm into boating. I'm into collecting things. I'm into whatever. And when we try to create something to give life meaning and purpose in our lives, we're trying to divine self-purpose. If I gave you the name Rob Evans, you probably never heard of him. If you have little children and been around for a while, you may have heard the Donut Man. He's a fellow that does Christian presentations and DVDs and CDs for children. It's really very good. He calls himself the Donut Man. It's very instructive. And he's a donut repairman. And his point behind it, he says he uses a donut to illustrate something can be good and yet still have something missing. The basic level, I'll have kids fill the hole in the donut with something that's good, some kind of pastry, and eat it, and find out they've improved it. But point out the fact that even though life can be good and things can be good, there's something missing. And deep within all of us, we're made in God's image and have a God-shaped empty place that only God can fill. Personally, I'd have used Long John's and I'd have put cream in there, but hey, it's his gig, you know? No, I'm kidding. I think that's great. Life's got a hole in it that only God can fill. See, God is supposed to be at the very center of our lives. And if you're wondering this morning, okay, Pastor, what is my purpose then? I mean, I kind of get this and I've always kind of looked for a purpose. You can start with saying that God needs to be in the very center of my life. And from the center of my life, everything else that matters flows out of that. Because if I put God off to the side somewhere or put him somewhere in the back, then I'm flowing out of the center. All my nonsense is. When God's in the center, then I can build off of that in all things. And when God is not in the center of our life, we try to fill it with other things because we have this emptiness that only God can fill. We fill it with other things, and it's commonly called an addiction. All of a sudden, we become obsessed with this particular thing. We can be addicted to work. We can be addicted to sexual relationships. We can be addicted to drugs and alcohol. I mean, the list goes on and on. There's all sorts of things if God's not at the center of your life. When you have no purpose in your life, no hope, then you're faced with trying to escape life. And people don't understand that's exactly what happens when they try to escape life. It's called hedonism. You try to find some kind of pleasure that dulls the pain because your life is meaningless. There's some way to self-anesthetize this. It's too painful. There is no meaning. It's amazing how much just having God's purpose and meaning in your life, all of a sudden some of the pain in life goes away. Because you have him back at the center that can address those needs in your life that we all have. You may even have a legal pleasure like going to Disneyland or television or movie or some hobbies, and you fill your life with that because God's not at the center. Yes, we can have an addiction that's hurtful and wrongful, and whether it may be sex, drugs, alcohol, whatever it may be, but you can have legal addictions, going somewhere, doing something. Legal, illegal, it doesn't matter. The whole idea is give me something to ease the pain to help me realize that when I lay my head down in bed at night, I don't have any reason to get up tomorrow morning. And man, I've met people like that. God is saying to you this morning that you matter. That you have significance. You were created for significance, and you were designed for godly purpose. That he has a plan for you. His word declares that to us. Listen to Ephesians 1, starting with verse 4. Long ago, even before he made the world, long ago, even before God made the world, God chose us to be his very own through what Christ would do for us. He decided then to make us holy in his eyes without a single fault. We who stand before him covered with his love. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his family by sending Jesus Christ to die for us. And he did this because he wanted to. That's the Living Bible translation. Before God ever designed the world, ever created the world, he said, "You matter. You have a plan. I have a plan for you. I want you in my life. I will create the world, I will watch it fall, and I will bring Christ in to redeem you because you have significance, because I love you." It's a lie right out of the pit of hell to say you have no meaning, you have no significance, you have no real purpose. The beginning of your purpose is to be in God's family through Christ. It's only in Christ will you discover his will for you. Life's true journey begins when you first know God, when you first meet Jesus. But I have found out that we need more than that. Not more than Jesus, but we need more than just getting saved. Because I've watched people over the years come forward and get saved or pray in the restaurant somewhere or pray at somebody's house and they get saved, but they change nothing in their life because God does not become the center of their life. And whether you're young and you're just kind of beginning life or whether you're older and you're kind of wondering about the winter of your life, God still says, you have significance. I want to be in the center of your life, and I will give you meaning, direction, significance, and purpose. Once you accept Christ, then he begins to establish meaning for you in him. And I've watched so many people slip from embracing life. They stumble through life just trying to make it through today. And I'm talking about believers. I've watched countless people that don't know Christ stumble through life just trying to get through the day. I've watched people that stopped embracing life. Maybe a tragedy happened. Maybe things were difficult. Maybe God, in their mind, disappointed them. I could tell you stories. I won't, because I won't break confidences, but I can tell you stories that have sat, people that have sat before me in counseling and are so brokenhearted because they needed something desperately in their lives, and it didn't happen. And it even seemed wrong. And when you look at it, you go, I honestly don't know why God would permit this to happen. It's painful. And then they feel like God has disappointed them. And they go through life just broken and not trusting God. And you stop embracing life. You stop living life. That's wrong. You've lost your hope. You need new hope, renewed hope, fresh hope. I mean, we go through seasons like that. I've talked to my pastor friends. I watch people historically. I've got to caution myself. We're in the doldrum months. Winter comes, summer's over, you know, fall's kind of happened. We start to get winter. Well, we've got Thanksgiving, we've got Christmas, and we have lights, and we have presents, and we have activities. And January hits, and it's 20 below last week. And it's like we're looking out into the future, and we go, how many more months of this do we have? You walk outside, and if you don't slip on the ice, the snow crunches. Cars slip and sliding. It's freezing. It's cold. Everything about it. There's nothing to do outside. The bills are there. Taxes are there. All this stuff happened. And historically, I watch people go, come on, spring, you know? And I got to be careful myself with that. I love being outside. I'm watching a movie or I'm watching, looking at some pictures, and all I see is green grass and green trees, and I'm thinking, oh, man, help me, Jesus, you know? So whether it's just the season or whether it's a tragedy in your life, we need to embrace life. We need to get up every day full of joy saying, this is a day that God has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm going to embrace life. I'm going to live life, and I'm going to have purpose in my life and meaning in my life until I stop drawing breath. You know, we have this culture, which is probably a good thing. People go live to a certain age and they retire, and that's all well and good, you know. But I'm telling you, you got to live life. I don't care if you're 100 years old and living in a nursing home. You have purpose because you have Christ within you. You have significance until you draw that last breath and enter heaven. You have meaning and significance. And don't allow the enemy to take that from you because it's a lie out of the pit of hell. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 3:11 that God has placed eternity in the heart of man. See, we are designed for something more. We are told we are made to last forever. Now, as we get older, you know, our body starts to creak. What's the old expression? You know, at 40 things begin to click, your knees click, your ankle clicks or whatever, your hips, I mean, 50, whatever the age may be. I mean, you know, what's the expression? I said, this old body has seen a lot of miles and some of those roads weren't paved, you know? And we picture that and we forget we were created for eternity. If man wouldn't have fallen in the garden, we wouldn't have these problems. We were made to last forever and live with God someday in a glorified body, and he could come right now and I'd be happy, amen? But you're made to live and have purpose, godly purpose, that starts now. It starts when you come to Christ. As a body of believers, we are called to embrace life, to follow God, to have him at the center of our life, to have meaning in our life, and to have meaning in our families, in our extended families. We're so also called as a body of believers to have that in our life and reach out and touch others that do not have it. To bring others to the one is the only one who can instill purpose and hope in their lives. Let's believe God together to do just that. Let's be known as those who really know and understand what new hope really is. And I'm not talking about new hope, the building. I'm not even talking about new hope, the new building, which I hope will happen and I believe will be wonderful. I'm talking about the one that gives new hope. The one whose mercies are new every day. The one who is fresh every single day of our lives. That we know him. And we meet so many others that do not have that purpose. Have that emptiness in their lives. They need to be touched by somebody like you who knows Christ, who has embraced life, that has the difficult days, and has those days when you're on your knees because it doesn't seem fair and it doesn't even seem right, but you're not giving up because you know the one that has the answer. Let's be those people that reach out to those around us that are hurting. Let's reach out to each other when we're hurting. Let's love each other and have that wonderfulness that we've had for years, and let's not lose that and touch so many others that need it. Let's stand together. Let's worship God for a moment.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me. And I am desperate for you. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me.
Times in my life where I'm just so busy and things seem hectic, and I realize I'm just feeling antsy or irritable or just so much going on, and I realized, I haven't spent much time in prayer or spent in the Word. I've been too busy. I've had times where I'm going somewhere and it's just been so crazy, and I'll plug in a worship CD, and all of a sudden I begin entering God's presence, and I realize no matter where I'm going in life, I'm still desperate for God, that I'm lost without Him. Have that purpose. Romans 15:13 says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. What a precious scripture. As we stay in worship for a minute this morning, maybe you're struggling with finding godly purpose in your life. Maybe you lost your joy or your meaning to get up. Maybe you just feel like you need a recharge. You just feel like, I need a touch from God. If that's you this morning, raise your hand. I'm going to invite you guys to come forward. I want God to touch you in a supernatural way this morning as we stay in worship. God has designed this day for you. Whatever it may be, maybe you just lost your hope, maybe you just need a recharge. Whatever it is, allow the God of hope to fill you this day as we worship our God.
Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word. Without you.